All right, guys, Sunday morning, 7:23. All right, we'll see what happens today. All right. This is called release before increase, prepare for plenty. This is what the Lord spoke to me. This was last week, and I brought it up Wednesday too. So we're going to look at that this morning. We're wanting His kingdom come, His will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Well, you know what? There's not any lack in heaven, not of anything. So God wants His will on earth as it is in heaven. That's been His plan all along, and that's the plan that will prevail. All right. Genesis chapter 12. Now remember the title, Release Before Increase, Prepare for Plenty. Verse 1 there says, Now the Lord said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. You know, it seems to be a common thread that people want to live where they want to live and they want to do what they want to do and they want to prosper the way they want to prosper. But beside that, God has a plan. And from my experience, it contradicts everything that you want. Right? God doesn't do it the way that we think He should do. He doesn't do it the way the world does it. Yeah. People talk, it's just so hard, it's just so hard, it's just so hard, it's just so hard. Really? No, it's different. It just seems to be that's the word that we pin that to, but it's different. It's not that it's hard, it's just that it's different. And we're so used to doing what we think is best that it kind of contradicts everything that we are used to and everything we have done. And we kind of look at prosperity as moments, but it's a lifestyle. If anything I could stress today, increase is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of following God and obeying God, giving where He says give, receiving. And it continues on. It's not something that just happens, bam, overnight. It's a progression of things, of events. We're going to see this in the life of Abraham here. He said, And I will bless thee that I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. See, God knew Abraham would be faithful, and He could trust him to be the father of our faith. He would teach his children God's ways. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. You know, a lot of people that are starting in ministry, they're thinking of hanging them up at this point. 75, they're thinking that's the end. What's the beginning? This was the beginning. Do you see how differently the world looks at it? You get around 70, 75, well, you're just an old goat. You hang it up. You don't, you know, put them out to pasture. That type of mentality and that kind of attitude. And it's not the kingdom of God, because in God's kingdom, it takes Him 40, 50 years to get the crud out of you to even use you. Moses is a prime example of that. Why did He call him out of the Chaldees when he was 30? I remember the Lord telling me, don't even be thinking about old age until you're at least 100. I'm just not going to listen to that. I just don't want you thinking that way. And you have someone come along, well, we just need to take care of you. No, you ain't going to take care of me. I don't need you to take care of me. Now, I'm going to take care of you. Sit your butt in that seat, and we're going to teach you how to walk, how to talk, how to live in the kingdom, how to appropriate everything that God has for you. Say, with the system's upside down, even in the church. Didn't mean to say all that, but it need to be said, I guess. All right. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the place of Moriah, or Murrah, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. He removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Now get a picture. Here's this big caravan with all of these donkeys and camels and stuff loaded with all their stuff, and they're just going, and they don't know where they're going. Most people don't want to do anything unless they got everything lined up. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south, and there was a famine in the land. Well, that's even worse. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Well, he kind of took a detour, didn't he? Well, he got more than he bargained for there. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai's wife, behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is my wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. So we had some fear going on here. God didn't tell him to stop off in Egypt, did he? Say, I pray thee that thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. It just seems to be the hardest thing in the world for us to keep our hands off of it, right? And it came to pass that when Abram was coming to Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and committed her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. He entreated Abram well for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen, and he asses and men servants and maidservants, and she asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidest thou, she is my sister? So I might have taken her to be me to wife. Now therefore, behold, thy wife, take her, go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. Short trip. All right? I've had this since last night, and I don't know, it may not be anybody here. Keep having about a hernia. And I don't know, I don't know who. Thank you, Lord. All right, we'll come back to that. All right, and Abram went up out of Egypt, chapter 13, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, or Hai, unto the plain of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. God never meant for them to be together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram, cattle, and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite, the Perizzite, dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, and thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, what did he do? He gave Lot the best of the land. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. You know, who knows that it wasn't old grumpy Lot that was probably saying, let's make a side journey to Egypt. My wife needs to get her hair done. You know, who knows? He wasn't even supposed to bring him. What does it mean when it says, get up from here, get away from all your household, family, and all that? What did he say? Separate yourself from them. What does he do? Drag them along. Baggage. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar to the Lord. So when did the release come, or the increase come? After the release came. He had baggage. He had some things going on there that weren't right. Caused him to detour into Egypt. Caused Lot and his herdsmen to get in strife. Trying to mess up everything God's trying to do. Yeah, well, you have to understand, he didn't have any kids, and so Lot was his nephew, and so he probably considered him his son. Yeah. So he had to give up some things. But then God said, now prepare for plenty. Look everywhere, north, south, east, and west. I'm going to give it all to you. Increase does not happen overnight. It's a long-range plan. There will be many increases over the life of a believer as they stay on course and follow God. It will inherit in full. How and if they follow God's plan is the key to all of this. You know, I know we've all delayed God's plan. Either out of ignorance, not knowing, not understanding, and all those things. God's plan's been delayed. You know, and I'm not saying that he can't play catch up with you, but if we just started out walking and following God, how far would we get? Yeah, we've had detours, right? We've all had detours. But we don't have to stay there, right? We can change it. We can release for increase and prepare for plenty. Oh, let's keep going here. Genesis 26. This is kind of a different financial teaching because, you know, we've got our traditional, you know, cast your bread upon the waters and all the stuff, you know, all the traditional things that are taught about giving and receiving, but it's always a moment, a bucket plunking thing, you know, but it's not about that. It's about a life of obedience. It's about following God with your whole heart in everything you do. A lot of people don't understand that. So, you know, they haven't made the trek yet. Some never do. Just because they never get themselves or line themselves up in a place where they don't like. You think that I chose to be in Odessa, Texas? I did not. It was chosen for me. Most all of us were at other places. Who wouldn't rather be where it's, you know, more rain and maybe, you know, a little bit of humidity, not a whole lot. Things are greener and prettier. It's not about that. It sounds like to me where Abram was going is just nothing but an old desert out there. But if it's where God is, he'll make it bloom in the desert, right? An oasis in the desert. That's why Odessa and the Permian's been called oasis in the desert. That it's going to be an oasis. They've been saying that since the 70s that I know of, maybe before that, that this area is going to be an oasis in the desert. I think we're part of that. All right, Genesis 26, 15. Wait a minute, 1, sorry, not 15. All right. There was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went into Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. In other words, your father made that mistake. Don't you follow that precedence. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. But I want to be in Florida. No, in the land that I tell thee of. You mean that old dry place out there with a lot of dirt, dust? Sojourn in the land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Excuse me. Same thing he promised Abraham. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And the men of the place asked him of his wife. He said, she is my sister, for he feared to say, she is my wife. Sound familiar? Lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. It came to pass, when it had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, of a surety she is thy wife. How sayest thou, she is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, because I said, lest I die for her. And Abimelech said, what is this that thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lain with thy wife, and thou shouldest have brought guiltiness upon us. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Had God's protection. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him, and the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks, possessions of herds, great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them up and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. He started having some persecution. Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged. You know, here he's supposed to be in Gerar, and here he is over here messing with Abimelech. I'm going, God's trying to prevent him from making the same mistakes that his father did. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdsmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sitna. And he removed from thence and digged another well, for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth, and said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. So it wasn't without, it wasn't just a smooth sailing here. He had stuff happening. People fighting with him. Fires to put out. And he went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him that night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there, and there were Isaac's servants digged a well. Think about this. Abraham was a person that didn't want strife. He caused the servants that were striving with his servants, you know, Lot's servants, to depart. Same thing happened here. Peace. Peace. I know we get out of sorts with people and things, situations happening. This morning, I was, I turned on right before, I usually turn on the TV at 7 o'clock. Well, that women's, whatever that was on. I just got up, walked in the backyard. I said, Lord, I've done everything you've asked me to do. What do you want me to do now? What am I supposed to do about this? This is the most important thing in this ministry, is this broadcast going forth. Well, I come back in and the programmer before me was on. But we weren't in the lineup. We were never up on the queue that I know of. And so I just think, yes, your program. I'm not going to strive with these people. These people are just people. These people make mistakes. See, it's calling the shots behind the scenes at the enemy and the real culprit, not getting into strife with people. Our person, you know, a person, a group of people, or a corporation. Strife is a killer. All right. Okay, there are always challenges that present themselves to deviate the plan that God has laid out for you. Satan wants to deter you and cause you to deviate from what God has said do. I'll tell you, it's not going to ever be easy. As long as the devil is running around and doing his stuff, we have to deal with him. All right, mainly circumstances we don't like, because I know, just dealing with television alone, I can't tell you how many times, but since we brought in, I have to dish out of pocket over $1,000 a month just to have my programs captioned. That's over and above what we were already expending. But since we've done that, they have not missed a beat. It's just been right on point every week, and that's what my producer said. He said, I think it was that transfer point that they were missing it right there. They weren't getting the right program in the right place. And, you know, sometimes they can do one thing, but they can't do two or three. So the Lord worked it out. But it was years and years and years of this. I've been doing this 15 years on television. So it was probably, how long we've been with these other people? A year and a half, maybe? Long time. That's why my program is so how far behind? At least a year, maybe longer than that. Just because one week they played my program five times. 5 weeks in a row. The same program. Call Monday morning. Yes, sir, we'll get it fixed. Five times in a row. But the Lord didn't say go anywhere but there. So what am I supposed to do? I got to stay in Gerard, right? I got to stay with Fox, right? Like it or not. Thinking, well, let me see if I can find somebody better. Mm-mm. If you want increase, you don't deviate. Unless the Lord says, now I release you from here and you can go there now. You all know by what flying by the seat of your pants gets you. Usually a plane wreck. All right. Were you thinking in the Bible it just happened in a week or two? No, these are lifetimes we're reading about. Sometimes it doesn't say how long. But because it's a story, we tend to think it just, well, this day and then the next day and then the next day. No, it didn't happen like that unless it says that it's a day. All right. No, there were people like us that struggle like us and must follow God just like we do. God's plan for you spans over your entire lifetime. From the moment you were conceived in the womb, God had a plan in place for you. Whether you find it or not is really up to you. I look around me and I have friends that have lots of kids and grandkids and great-grandkids and everything. They just love each other. Everything just seems to be great. And I'm going, what happened with us? But you know what? As I read further about Isaac and Rebecca and what happened with their family, for God's plan to progress, it wasn't the Bates family, you know, like, if you don't know who the Bates are, 19 kids and counting, you know, just everybody, they're just one big happy close. If we saw behind the scenes, we might not see things that we see on the camera. Yeah. You know, you can get to thinking, what have we done wrong? I don't believe it has anything to do with what we've done wrong. I think it has to do with what we've done right. All right. The fathers of our faith went through the same thing. All right, we're going to look at this in Genesis 27. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here I am, or here am I. And he said, behold, now I'm old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard what Isaac spake to Esau, his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, and he may eat, that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will fail me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son, only obey my voice, and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I'm Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that my soul may bless me, that your soul, thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Now Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray that thou may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac, his father. He felt him and said, the voice of Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And he said, art thou my very son Esau? He said, I am. And he said, bring it near me, to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, blessed him, and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down unto thee, be lord over thy brethren. Let thy brother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curses thee, and blessed be that blesseth thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Isaac. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of it all before thou camest, and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great exceeding bitter cry, said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me two times. He took away my birthright. You know, he was doing the lentil stew and he was hungry. And he said, okay, you can have the birthright. What is that to me? See, God didn't like him because he hated him, he says. The scripture said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. He was chosen. Jacob was chosen. And behold, now he had taken away my blessing. He said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I've made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be in the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of the heaven from above, and by thy sword shalt thou live, shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass that thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father at hand, then will I slay my brother Jacob. And these words of Esau, her elder son, was told to Rebekah, and she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, flee thee to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days, until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee. And he forgot that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? Rebekah said to Isaac, I'm weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do to me? So, what happened? He ends up, going to Haran for 20 years. And he had a father-in-law that was a tyrant. I know about them tyrannical in-laws. Believe me, I know about them. But anyway, he made his life a living hell. But what happened to him? He increased. And if you read the book of Jasher, whenever Jacob was coming back and Esau finds out he's coming, he tries, I think it's four different attempts to come after his brother and kill him. And angels intercepted him every time. And by the time he got to Jacob, he was kind of like a kitten. He came to him in peace and then departed from him. So, see, God protected him. But he increased. Why? He saw something in Jacob that he did not see in Esau. But he had trouble. In fact, this tribulation that we've gone through, this war has been, they're talking about 7 years since Trump started. 7 years. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. Okay. Let's keep going here. All right, I read you that one. It was not an easy journey for Jacob. And I'm sure there's many times that he wanted to give up, but he didn't. Such has it been for those that God has caused to rise to the top. See, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and violence take it by force. And I view it this way. Anything that you've had to suffer for what God has called you to do, that's release. You're giving of yourself and giving of what you want and where you want to be and what you want to do. You said, God, I'm giving that to you. I'm sowing my life into the kingdom of God. And God brings increase as a result of it. That's why you get it 100-fold in this lifetime with persecutions. Anybody had any persecution? 100-fold. Okay, let's keep going here. This is verse 28 here, or chapter 28. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother, and God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee. See, he's the successor. See, we're also blessed of Abraham. We're heirs according to the promise. And give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed which with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob and Esau's mother. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that he was blessed, that as he blessed, he gave him a charge, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Padan Aram. And Esau seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac, his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. Despite. Seems like me, those that choose God's way have the dysfunctional families. I'm not saying there's not dysfunctional families. I'm just saying this is that persecution. All right, it's not an easy journey. This release before increase. It is a plan laid down by God with many steps, twists, and turns. See, this is talking about a lifespan. I mean, he was there 20 years. But he was, you know, Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All right, Isaiah chapter 1. So the parents of that day weren't having a very good time. They all ended up leaving their families. God sent them off to be trained, to be made worthy, to stand in the position he called them to. Maybe it'll help you to understand that that's the Bible way. That is God's way. They didn't send him to seminary to do that. No, he went to the school of hard knocks. A very wicked father-in-law. All right, Isaiah 1 verse 10 says, is that right? I guess it is. Let me read it. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or in he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I'm weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you, from you, yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord, through your sin, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. He doesn't want rituals. He wants a heart after him that'll do right. It's not just about tithes and offerings like the prophet is talking about. You know, the rituals that Christians do. It's about a lifestyle of a relationship with God. By following God, there are many obstacles, but if we stay the course, we release. In other words, we do not lean to our own understanding, doing our own will, and embracing God's will for us instead. Then we will see increase when we do. We can then prepare for plenty. I can look back over the last 50 years and see, as we followed God, how he has increased us as we released not just our finances, but our lives to follow him no matter what. To those that follow God, increase and plenty are just part of it. It goes with it. We are so blessed that we look forward to the Lord instructing us to give another vehicle away or other things. You can never outgive him. He is Jehovah Jireh, the provider, God that is more than enough. His well never runs dry. Never. He's the source of living waters. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. All right, one more story here. 1 Kings. You know, it's just kind of politically correct in our society and the church world that, well, if they're poor, you don't require anything of them. But if you've got a lot of money, you're required to give your money. Well, God doesn't view it that way. It's like, what's in your hand? What's in your hand? 1 Kings. Start with verse 1 there.
What chapter?
10. All right. And when the queen of, it can't be 1 Kings. It's not 1 Kings. Oh, let me find it here because I just wrote it down wrong again or typed it wrong. All right, 17. All right, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, son of Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land, because of his decree. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I'm gathering two sticks, and I may go in, dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail unto the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake unto Elijah. It goes on from there. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. His sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? He stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come unto him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth. So this woman, what she was sowing with the meal, what she had left for her and her son, she gave to the prophet, which represented God in the old covenant. Look at the increase. Her son died. He got raised from the dead. Now, she didn't know it. She was sowing. She suffered the, losing. What she thought, well, what does it matter if I live, die today instead of tomorrow? I'll go ahead and do what he said. But what Elijah said to her happened, and then this happened. Yeah. It is not just tithes and offerings like the prophet is talking about. It's not about bucket plunking. It's not just sowing a seed here and sowing a seed there. It is a lifestyle of release and increase. And preparing for plenty. Think about it. The kingdom of God is as if a man casts seed in the ground. Right? So, as the farmer casts seed in the ground, every season he'll cast that seed. Every year he receives a crop. Same way in the kingdom of God. God has us continually sowing seed. All right. This happened when Solomon was following the Lord. This is 1 Kings. You know, I wrote 17 right here, and I don't know what. Let me go back to 10. Oh, I know. I was right. That was right. Go back to 1 Kings 10. Up. It was right. Right here. Starting with verse 1. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. When she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom in the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no spirit left in her. In other words, he had these big steps and these big lions, I think, going up the steps and this big elaborate gold throne. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and thy wisdom. See, because he chose wisdom for God's people, God said, I'm going to give you riches and honor. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, that I hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, very great store and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. They just kept heaping it on him. And the navy also of Hiram that brought gold from Ophir brought in from Ophir great plenty of almug trees and precious stones. And the king made of the almug trees pillars for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, harps also and psalteries for singers. There came no such almug trees, nor were seen unto this day. And King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. Now the weight of the gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold. Beside that he had of the merchantmen and of the traffic of the spice merchants and of all the kings of Arabia and of the governors of the country. And King Solomon made 200 targets of beaten gold. 600 shekels of gold went to one target. He made 300 shields of beaten gold. 3 pounds of gold went to one shield. And the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. How gold's it about 2,000 right now for an ounce? Think about how expensive one of these shields be. More of the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with the best gold. The throne had 6 steps, and the top of the throne was round behind, and there were stays on either side on the place of the seat, and 2 lions stood beside the stays. And 12 lions stood there on one side and on the other upon the 6 steps. There was not the like made in any kingdom. And all King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None were of silver. It was nothing accounted of in the days of Solomon. For the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish with the navy of Hiram. Once in 3 years came the navy of Tarshish, bringing gold and silver, ivory, apes, and peacocks. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and wisdom, and all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. And they brought every man his present, vessels of silver and vessels of gold, garments, armor, spices, horses, mules, a rate year by year. And Solomon gathered together chariots and horsemen, and he had 1,400 chariots, 12,000 horsemen, whom he bestowed in the cities of chariots, and with the king at Jerusalem. And the king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones, and cedars made he to be as the sycamore trees that are in the vale for abundance. And Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt, and linen yarn, and the king's merchants received the linen yarn at a price. And a chariot came up and went out of Egypt for 600 shekels of silver, and a horse for 150. And so for all the kings of the Hittites and for the kings of Syria did they bring them out of their means. So Solomon was quite wealthy. Is it just for Solomon? No, it's not. Now we know he went wayward. All right. In Isaac's day, he prospered in the time of famine. That's scarcity. In Elijah's day with the widow, they were under famine. That's scarcity. In the kingdom of God, there is no scarcity. The kingdom of God does not operate the way of the world system. It bypasses it. We're hearing of scarcity from every sector. Now they're saying, have a month's worth of food, water, non-essentials, medical supplies, blah, 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 blah. Till you just want to scream. We don't need to fear because we follow God. Where does our help come from? It comes from God. And I've not heard the Lord say one thing. Not one thing out of all the stuff that's being said and being pushed far and wide. All right, Psalms 121. Verse 1 says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth in even forevermore. I remember years ago going to work for the oil show, and second day in, Danny loses his job. And I remember this scripture the day or two before that. I remember the Lord kept giving me that scripture right there. And the Lord provided. We didn't miss a payment. We didn't miss a meal. In fact, the next job he got put him in line with people that started giving bonuses. He never worked for anybody that gave bonuses before. See, God was lining up increase. It looked like we had lost, but really we'd won. It's just how you look at the situation. Yeah. Jesus said that he is the way. He makes a way where there seems to be none. So don't be afraid to release when he prompts you to do so. He has a plan of increase. So you need to prepare for plenty. All right.